So as you can see on the board, we took a hiatus last week to do Christmas. And so this is, you'll be happy to know, this is the last in the series on the foundation doctrines of Christ. And so let's read Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I hope you have all, could I be bold enough to say, in the 9 weeks, growing in the understanding of the foundation doctrine of Christ, that you've looked at this and gone, man, this is exciting stuff, this is good, this is what my salvation is all about. And I just want to commend the team for the great effort they did in going through doctrines and theology to help us get to this place. And most people, when I've heard people preach on this subject, they fail to lead to do this onto maturity factor. And I think that is the crux of the whole thing, because what is the point of the scripture if we don't go on to maturity, if we don't mature? And so this morning I want to challenge you a little bit, or quite a lot, it depends where you are on this journey. And so, on to maturity. Well, what does this mean for us? So if you, depending what scriptures you read, what version that is, we have some places, I think King James uses the word perfection. Let us go on to perfection. Some says let's go on to being blameless. And some says maturity. And these, they're used interchangeably as a theme throughout the Bible. Because who knows that God wants his children to mature, and we're going to look at that just now. And so we need to understand, though, that these interchangeable terms are understanding that there is a perfection pertaining to God. Now, when he says we got to be perfect like God, well, we're not going to be perfect like God, maybe similar, maybe close to, maybe Christ-like, but God is perfect, in which means absolute, underived, sinless perfection. That's it. And I think you figure we don't get there. But it also refers to pertaining perfection or maturity pertaining to all other creatures, which is attained maturity, which is a full stature of growth. In the vernacular, it would mean it's when we get to put on our big boy pants or put on our big girl pants. And we grow up and behave and be mature spiritually. So we need to understand that that is because we find that this perfection, this attained perfection, can be lost. And we see that when we exercise poor free will, when we would choose to step into more things of God, that we would choose to actually behave well, that we would choose to go further in God. And when we understand that, we see, but when we don't, we see that there are consequences. Because you'll see that as in Lucifer and one-third of the angels, they chose to exercise in disobedience and fell and were cast out of heaven. And we know that. As did Adam and Eve, who were in the garden, and they were told, you can eat of everything in this garden except these two trees in the middle. Tree of good in knowledge and the tree of life, eternal life. And that was broken down for us in parts of the series that we just finished it. And they see that they fell from perfection because they were created perfect, and they were fell. So this perfection or maturity or blamelessness is for all of mankind. And we can see that throughout Scripture, I've said it, we can see that it was commanded before the law. Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. How would you like that? I'm walking along one day and all of a sudden, God appears. He says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me blameless. Secondly, it was commanded under the law. Deuteronomy 18:13. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. It was commanded under grace, Matthew 5:48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. this maturity or this perfection or blamelessness is found throughout perfect fulfillment in God the Father's perfection. We are perfect in Him, not because of who we are and what we do. And it's only through Him. All Jesus' disciples, which means us, because we're all Jesus' disciples, are called to pursue perfection. The Greek word that is most used, and I hope I say this right, is teleios. It's teleios, and where we in English gets the word telescope. And what this word teleios, to be perfect, means, it means perfect, being the full-grown man or woman. It means being mature. It means far-reaching, and I guess that's where telescope comes from. It means that our maturity is not just now, and it's for me and myself. It's far-reaching, and the people will see that guy or that gal is mature. And we understand that and see that. It also means let us move on from drinking milk to eat solid food. Or for the younger generation, it means like I'm progressing and moving on from grade 7 to grade 8. That's good. The best 3 years of my life are grade 10. Some of you are listening. Some of you are wondering, what did he just say? Evidence of spiritual life will be by visible spiritual development and progress toward Christian maturity. If there is no progress towards maturity, if you stay the same, it should be questioned if there is any. Remember we did baptism in and a baptism of Holy Spirit. I would wonder if you are the same today as you were a year ago or 2 years ago, how much of God are you allowing God to work in you and work in your life that you mature and you don't behave the same way? I know. Bridget can testify to it. And Louise. I was not good on the road if people cut me off or were too slow or traveling in the lane that I wanted to be driving in. You know what the amazing thing is? And if any of you are like this, and you're screaming, if you're screaming and shouting at the person, they can't hear you. It's just you that is like freaking out, and the other person is just like, wow, look at that. They're having an argument in that car. I don't know that it's generated at you. We have to progress and go on to maturity. When the gospel seed has been planted in good soil, it will produce a harvest. When you put a plant in a good soil, it has to produce a harvest to the glory of God. Where there is evidence of a right relationship with God in Christ Jesus. In part one, we agreed that God wants us to leave these elementary doctrines of Christ. To leave them, not abandon them. Well, we don't have to learn that stuff. We don't need, let's just leave it because we get stuck on the word leave. When in actual fact, the point is we need to understand and know them so that we may move on. And we don't get to repudiate them. We get to feed them. We want us to progress and move forward beyond them onto maturity. Now, our standard slide that we've had for this is up on the board right now. It shows that where we've been and what these steps are: repentance from dead works, faith and baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And these are just basic doctrine. They're building blocks for us to grow up into. However, the most basic doctrine we need to understand is doctrine of salvation. And that is Jesus is God in the flesh, and there's scriptures that will come up. We're not going to read them, just don't have time. He bore our sins in His body on the cross. Number three, He died, was buried, and rose from the dead. And number four, that through Jesus we are justified by faith. That is just, I'm a Christian, so that's it. And we have to learn to walk it out. And what the point I'm making is only through the finished work of the cross that we are able to press on to maturity. Just put the next slide up, please. And here we just have a little diagram of, we have to understand that we were born as infants and we grew up and we naturally grew, and then can we get saved at somewhere in that, and then we start all over again as infants and we're going to have to go on to maturity. And that just helps us to understand this. When I say leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on, the Greek translation for that means literally, let us leave the beginning principles, the things that we started with. We can't sit there all the time. And I've used this illustration before, but it's like if you want to take your little kid and they're playing outside in the yard and they're all dirty and you bring them inside and you say to them, okay, you need to bath and put on clean clothes. We're going down to the shops now. And you do the whole thing. And then he looks at you and he runs aside and jumps in the mud again or just wants to sit and not go out to the shops. And that's sometimes that we, in our Christian walk, we're like that. We come to the cross, we get all cleaned up, but then sometimes we want to step back into all the nonsense that we were involved in. Or otherwise, we just want to sit at the cross. I'm too afraid to move on from here. No, we have to move on to become mature in Christ Jesus. Amen? Once the foundation has been laid, we are to mature not only in our understanding, but in our practice and attitudes concerning spiritual things. I love the fact that Dom read about the spiritual gifts this morning. Because that's part of maturing. Is saying, God has gifted me and I need to use my gifts for the common good. How are you doing? The doctrines, these are vitally important for us. Without them, we cannot live salvation. We can't just keep pretending and, fake it till you make it. They define us on who we believe in, what we believe concerning Jesus and the Godhead, and what He requires of us. I know for a New Testament church, a lot of people don't like the idea of New Testament church because it's like a parable, means there has to be a response. I remembered when we first came here, I'm not pointing fingers, but what? A church in the area put up a sign and said, come to our church, you don't have to change. I'm like, what? Now, I know there is a difference between actual fact, I have to clean up my act before I come to church. Now, that's nonsense. But once I get there, then the Lord wants me to mature and to grow up into something that He created me to be. Amen? We have to understand that the essentials of faith that the Bible states are non-negotiable. There are certain things in Scripture that are just non-negotiable. Like the deity of Christ, the resurrection, salvation by grace. It could be said that doctrines are of the mind because the answer to doctrinal teaching, it could be often said that questions more than your memory can take in. What does it mean to repent if you ask the questions? What does it mean to go back and Janine Preet did an amazing job on repentance from dead works. What are the baptisms? We spoke about being baptized in water and being baptized in and of the Holy Spirit. What is the Trinity? What is the Bible all about? What's so important about the Bible? Are the spiritual gifts for today? Well, it was made clear this morning, yes. What is the significance of laying of hands? What is the resurrection and the final judgment? And Dom did an outstanding job on the eternal judgment. Tough subject to preach, but did an amazing. What happens when Jesus returns? Etc., etc. All these questions. These are all important questions for us to ask and to be answered. And it will help guide our understanding, because when our understanding is being guided, we understand in what guides our actions and our words, when we understand these doctrines. Doctrine is of the mind. It is, in one sense, easier than the teaching of Christ, because often Christ taught, this is a hard teaching. But here we have the doctrines, but the teachings of Christ and obedience deal with issues of the heart. Because of the mind, you only need to understand, but with the heart, you need to also obey. Some wise guy said this, maturity is when your understanding of truth and your corresponding actions are one and the same. Hallelujah. Well, I thought so anyway. If we don't go into maturity or perfection, we remain the eternal babe. And I know sometimes boys with toys, they look like eternal babes. But we want to grow up. So what is the eternal babe, you ask? I'm so glad you did. I'm fully aware that we are all on a different spiritual journey. We're all going in one direction, hopefully. But we're all at different levels, different points along the way of our spiritual journey. We're all growing. We are all maturing. It's not just, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years and you've only been a Christian for 20 months, so therefore I'm more mature than you. No. Because in that statement alone tells me how mature that person is as opposed to the other one. It's getting quiet in here, but that's okay. I still love you. We want to mature. We want to be followers of Christ. Our behavior and speech, things we post on Facebook, Instagram, often reveal where we are on this journey of maturity. The eternal baby always, are we there yet? Have we arrived yet? Have you attained full maturity yet? And the answer will be no, but we're working towards it. So what is the eternal babe? Well, spiritual infancy is lack of growth after the new birth. It's not hard to figure out. You know when I said just like get dressed and just, oh no, I don't want to do anything now. I'm all dressed up for the party and I'm waiting at the rapture bus stop for something to happen. I'm not so sure I want to go out and serve people and help people and pray for people and just be a light in my community. The spiritual infant is concerned with self rather than serving. It's all about me. I listen to people's speech. I did this and I did that and I went here and I did that and I. What it tells me, it's a prevailing consumeristic aptitude. It's all about me and what can I get out of this? The spiritual infant is concerned with argument rather than action. Can we debate this? Can we talk about this? Well, let's stop talking and let's get on and do. The spirit infant looks to people rather than Jesus. We look at people all the time instead of looking at Jesus. Well, they don't behave like they're supposed to. Well, how are you doing? Let's look to Jesus. So I did a little bit of fun thing with some lenses. What lenses are you looking through? There is a birth, we know that, and there is a growth, we know that, and there is a place for one to walk on to journey. The baby, a little baby there with their glasses on, or spectacles, whatever, says this, I and everyone around me lives to benefit me. That's a baby. And me and everyone around me lives to, meaning someone else will just do it all for me. Someone's going to feed me. Someone's going to wipe my butt. Someone's going to bath me. Someone's going to feed me. Someone's going to take me for a walk in the stroller. Someone's going to buy clothes for me. Someone's going to change me. Someone's going to do everything for me. Because I've just landed on planet Earth and it's all about me. Right? Teenager. I and others live for our mutual benefit. Sorry, guys. Reality check. I'll get involved, but what's in it for me? Or I'll get involved when it's convenient for me. Yeah, it's like... An adult says, I live to benefit others. Meaning, I live to serve others no matter the task. A long ago, far away in this land, someone said to me one Sunday, so where's the coffee? Why isn't there any coffee? And I said, well, would you like to help the team and make some? No, I don't make coffee. So you want to drink it, but you don't want to make it. And we've got to learn sometimes that the best thing you can do is make the coffee. Again, I know... Infinitum boredom for some of you. Alan and Chris Tukuma, make these chairs straight so that you can come and walk into this house and it's a nice, neat house. Both of them are highly educated men, top of their professions in what they do, but they will humble themselves to come and straighten chairs out so you can sit in nice, straight rows. tells me something about their heart. No, I don't straighten chairs. I don't clean toilets. I don't straighten chairs. I don't pray. I don't prophesy. I just like to sit and be fed. I and everyone around me lives to benefit me. Let's move on to parents because it's getting very quiet. You're allowed to take a breath. Parents say, I live to disciple the nations. Not only will I serve, but I will bring others along with me. Where are you in this continuum of what lenses are you looking through? Mark, this is a terrible message for the end of the year. No, it's not, because I trust that it will jar you into something that will take us into 2020, where the hospitality team is full. Where's Shan? She's probably teaching kids again. The kids, church, we don't need any more helpers. We great. When it comes to Freedom Session, we got so many classes now, we don't know where to put everybody. When it comes to Alpha, we're going to have to cut it off because we just can't have any more out there. And whatever ministry involved, the music team, Jess is like, "Woo! I don't know what to do. We got like, let's have 3 keyboards and let's have 5 guitars and 7 drummers. I don't know." But that's where we, because alternative is like, I know, Mark's be really ugly. You should be so, it's Christmas and it's New Year. I always wanted to preach a sermon called Feed Me Daddy Burp. Because that's how the 90% of the Christians live their lives. Just feed, more feed, more food, more food. Just feed me, feed me. And never do anything with the food. Anyway, number 3, God's desire is for his children to mature. Underlying foundation of these doctrines, to understand them, get them into our heads and in our hearts so we can move on to maturity. I mean, who wants to be mature spiritually? No, we want to grow on. We want to grow up. We want to, man, that we can get to a place where Scripture says, by now you should be teaching other people, but you're still babes. We want to go on to maturity. Well, I do anyway. The level of maturity that comes is from a perfect faith. To understand the only way to perfect faith is your relationship with God and improving your walk in holiness is to do it by faith and obedience. At the bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's word and spirit. That's a maturity statement. We want to see everyone connecting with his word and his spirit and going on to maturity and being all that God created you to be. That we can fill this place, plant churches, and see Jesus come back. John Bevere says this. Listen to this, young people, young adults, youth. Physical maturity is bound to time. Spiritual maturity is bound to obedience. In the kingdom, our maturity is not defined by our age. Let that sink in for us. Or our education, or how long we claim to have been a follower of Christ. It is based on the following points that we can have a look at. And obviously, the list is not exhaustive, but it's what we have this morning. But please don't think, well, I'm just young, so therefore I need to behave. In the natural, boys will be boys. Let's just settle that. And girls will be girls. In the spiritual, those same ones that you roll your eyes out, and you go, oh, they're so young, look at them, they're just having another water fight, and it's freezing cold out there. Yeah, that's because they're young. But then you bring them in here and you say, okay, let's just pray for us. And you hear the wisdom and the knowledge and the power that comes out of them is what I'm talking about. Because in the natural, they can still be silly. So I have a greater expectation of our young people. Number 1, doing the will of God. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. How'd you like to be a preface? Man, I pray for my church. I pray for my pastor. I pray for the pastors. I pray for my congregation. I pray for God's time with us. I pray the thing. I'm a preface. I want to be called a preface. That you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. That is the point of his prayers. Doesn't say, well, I'm a preface and I'm praying for all the kids in the church. Well, I'm praying for all the old people. No. I'm just praying they're all going to mature, that they will all stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. Number two, being able to, what is going on to mature? Being able to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. It doesn't happen by osmosis. We have to practice and train them. You've heard that if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. Don't hang around with the foolish and involve yourself in foolish conversations. Be wise, discern, train your discerning powers. Constantly practice distinguishing, knowing good from evil. One of the best ways you can do that, read your Bible, pray every day. It's a JK instruction. Read your Bible, pray every day. You don't understand, Pastor, I don't have time. Anyway, let's move on. I still want you to love me at the end of this. Number three, willingness to sacrifice. Uh-oh, now you're messing with my life. Now you're messing with me. Matthew 19:20. The young man said to him, all these things, you know, rich young ruler, that's the story here. All these things I have kept, what do I still lack? Don't ask the question if you don't want the answer. If you can't handle the answer, you know, don't stand in the kitchen if you can't handle the heat. That's why you never find me in the kitchen. Anyway, that's another story. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now we need to understand this and go, well, the pastor just read scripture and he said, I've got to go and sell everything I have and follow Jesus. That's not what the point of this is. The point of this scripture is a test of the heart attitude. Where is your treasure? Well, my treasure's in my bank balance and in my wallet. Well, then you probably need to divest yourself of some of that. So you can. It's not so much about wealth, but about heart attitude. Because Jesus had practiced and trained his discernment, knowing good from evil, and he just saw drilled down into the heart of this young rich ruler. It wasn't like, if you want to be perfect, just give some of your money. It was now get rid of it all. And come follow me. And that's like hardcore. Test of the heart. Willing to sacrifice something. What is it that is holding you from the will of God? Where is your treasure? And for some of you, it might be in your back pocket and your bank balance. Number four, displaying love. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I just want to get even with that person. They said this about me. It doesn't matter. Trust me. I've been tried and tested, and I will be tried and tested in this realm. It doesn't matter. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. When it says sons, it also means daughters. Verse 48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Display love in all circumstances. Not jealous, not divisive, not gossiping, but just loving. I don't know why this person hates me, Lord, but I bring them before you and I pray the best upon their lives. You know what I found? I'm digressing a little bit. And we think stuff in our heads, and then if we do what the Bible says we're supposed to do, go to that person, hey, Kev, why do you dislike me so much? Okay, what? I don't dislike you. Where'd you get that idea from? I don't know. The enemy told me that. And I just thought I'd believe the enemy. That's what happens. You think things in your head that aren't true, and then you act it out. That I was talking about earlier, your understanding of the doctrines, your understanding of all this will lead us to our behavior and actions. These are all great milestones in our progression towards maturity. And this one, number four, displaying love, is vitally, vitally important. Doing God's will, being obedient to God, distinguishing good from evil and sacrifice are all perfected in love. However, all are only possible in love. Jesus told us the first and greatest commandment, Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Don't put your hands up. How many of you even know the name of your neighbor? John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another, but by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So we're just going to close off with doing a little quick meter reading for you. So we've had a look at how God wants to take us on to maturity. How you doing? As I like to. Now we're going to talk about maturity attained. Remember we said, for all God's creatures, maturity can be attained. So this is a quick meter reading for you. Number one, true spiritual maturity is of the spirit, not simply of the mind. It's not by my flesh I'm doing this. I'm going to love my neighbor. I love him. I, Lord, pray, Jesus, I pray for my neighbor. No. That's not loving your neighbor. That's like I'm just revealing my heart attitude to pray for my neighbor. Let's do it the right way. In Hebrews, as we said, let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ and go on to maturity. It's an encouragement for us spiritually to go beyond the basics. This is not a duct tape ministry international. You know, it's messed up, it's broken. Yeah, just put duct tape over it and fix it. We're not doing that. We're actually going to heal it, Freedom Session, and we're going to bring people to salvation, Alpha, and we're going to love on people and bring them into the body of Christ. Spiritual maturity is of the spirit, not simply the mind, is an encouragement to progress and start living what we claim to be, or what we claim to know. Paul's level of maturity could be described, that summed up in the doctrine of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Go and read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 together as a piece, because that is what Jesus is. Jesus is incarnate love. He is love in the flesh, love in the spirit, love everywhere around us, in us, through us, etc., etc. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. See, God's punishing them for what they did. No, God disciplines, God never punishes. But love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Just allow your mind to wonder, in my life, what does that mean? Love never ends. Number two, maturity attained means displaying a love that is others-centered. Now you're really messing with us, Mark. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Selah. Just let that scripture marinate around in your head a little bit and into your heart. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Black Friday sale is a good place to test that out. I'll open the doors and let them all rush in. God, go get what you want. Anyway. You've heard me say this 100 times. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love gives. If you want to be like our Father, be giving. Giving in your of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your resources, giving of your finances. Love sacrifices. Love considers another more important. Love rejoices in the well-being and safety of another. Love creates honesty. Love creates integrity and character. Love unites people together, brings out forgiveness. If you ever need to forgive someone, today's a good day. Even anoints the hearts of God's people to contemplate on holiness, purity, forgiveness, humility, patience, and you can add whatever you want to add. Number 3, no longer babes. We are no longer babes, Ephesians 4:13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, or no longer be eternal babes, no longer be infants in our behavior, that are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. This is a strong word from God's word. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Go and meditate on these scriptures. So let me just close with this. Maturity doesn't mean knowing more doctrine. It is a head and a heart issue. Head brings knowledge. The heart brings obedience, working in tandem. It's got to be working in tandem. Maturity doesn't mean, well, I'm so mature, I just don't argue with my wife anymore. I don't fight with the kids anymore. No, that's not it. Maturity doesn't mean you no longer steal or lie. Well, we hoped you stopped that long time ago. That's not maturity. That isn't. You know, I used to lie a lot, and now I don't, so I'm more mature. No. Maturity can only be judged by the standard of Christ, which means becoming more Christ-like. When we truthfully can say, we're more Christ-like. When things break your heart, when things bring compassion to your heart. I mean, how great the art we sang this morning. I was totally undone. You couldn't see it. Well, I was standing in the front row, the tears were just running down my face. How great thou art, God. Do we still live in that place of wonder and awe of Almighty God? Maturity is living out Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, what does that mean? Come after me, he says. Become my disciple, not to claim to be, but to simply declare I'm a disciple or follower of Christ, but actually be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then it says, deny himself. Denying self requires us to give up everything. Well, earlier you said we don't have to give up anything. No, I didn't say that. It means putting him on the throne first. It means denying everything that would seek and hinder you from doing God's will in your life. Doesn't mean that if we want something, it is necessarily wrong. like a new house or a car or a better job or more money. That's not wrong. But does that become your idol and does that sit on the throne instead of Jesus Christ? It means we take our wants and our desires down from the throne and we place Jesus on the throne and we live according to that. And it says, take up his cross daily. Now, it just means we take up our cross daily. I mean, I've got to suffer with Jesus daily. That's not what it means. Just think for me for a moment in time, because this is one of those points where I say, don't check your brains at the door. What was the intent of the cross? It was to kill people. Jesus carried his cross. He suffered and carried his cross. And there's part that we need to carry our cross, but knowing that the point of that is that I have to die to self. It was an instrument of death and total sacrifice. We need to know where he was going. He was going to die. The message, as I've said, is to die to ourselves and the I's and the me's of my life. Think of it. Jesus, the Son of God, who was given all authority over all earth, every living and breathing thing in it, yet he chose to leave heaven and come to earth and humble himself and be our servant on earth. And then carry his cross and die for us, for you and for me. Last scripture in ending, when Paul writes to the Philippian church, I believe this is a word for us, for the bridge, for you individually and for us corporately today. Chapter 2. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who thought he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. What? He was God, but he understood he's the Father, I'm the Son. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This humility extends when Jesus wrote spoke in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. I like to call them the beautiful attitudes, the Beatitudes. We need to have some beautiful attitudes in our lives. Loving all sorts of people, trusting Jesus. The rich young ruler said this is what he wants to do, but he forgave all for our sins and died for us. Last slide. Our infancy in Christ is revealed in our selfishness, our lack of trust in Christ. I can't trust Jesus enough to pay my bills for the end of the month, so therefore I will hold back a little bit for me and for that and for this and the other. No, I trust you, Jesus. Quarreling arguments, divisions, self-centeredness, unreconciled relationships, unforgiven memories and all such sins. But your maturity will be revealed in a trust, a unity, a trust in him and his word, in reconciliation, in healing, and of course the manifestation of the love of Christ, growing in a loving relationship with Christ as we press on to maturity. And I trust this series has helped you all, that you want to step into the maturity thing, and that you, please don't take this as a harsh lesson this morning, but a challenge. How am I maturing? Now, I don't know about you, but come January 1, 2020, or 31st of December, I want to look back over 2019 and go, I've grown. I've matured. I've understood some stuff that I didn't understand before. I've been better at some of this other stuff. I want to look back on 2019 and go, yeah, same old, same old. I want to see us as a body grow and mature into the things of God. I want to see us touching our community.